And we have this amazing panel that I'm so excited. Even if none of y'all were here, I would be like, hey guys, this is me. Don't worry about it. And next Wednesday night is our last edition for the year. We are bringing in an amazing, wonderful woman. Marissa, what's her name?
Are you asking?
Mm-hmm.
Do I know?
I think so. No, you don't know. Claire Heinblank knows. You could know, Larissa, but Claire for sure knows. She's going to talk about praying circles around your children. So that's next Wednesday. It's the last edition for the year, so you're not going to want to miss that one.
But it's May 8th, the last.
May 8th is the last family ministry programming regular Wednesday of the year. First through fourth graders and the tribe. So first through seventh grade are all going to ring, and that's going to take up most of the time in the fellowship hall. If it turns out that they get done early and we don't have anything else to do, I really want to go back and play that game that we started in January. Do y'all know which game I'm talking about? Where you all were a character? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you know? I really want to finish that. So if we don't do that this year, we're going to start next year. We're playing the whole game because it's so much fun. Do you remember? You remember.
Oh, I remember.
You remember.
It takes a while to play the whole game.
I know. That's why we need a whole evening to do it. And it was so fun.
I missed it.
I think you missed that one. But it's okay because we'll do it again. And we had to cut it short. Hi, Christy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. I don't want to talk anymore. But make sure that you fill out this piece of paper. Christy, the paper in front of you is to tell me what topics you want next year. All right, and you can write specifics under anything, or you could say, like, I cannot talk about sexual integrity any longer. Please don't do that topic anymore. Whatever you want to do.
Do not bring the Johnsons back.
No, they're filling them out now. They'll never, 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 never say that.
I know.
I don't know where, how we did that, but we'll let Catherine talk to that.
I was like, Catherine, talk to that.
Like, all right, so sometimes.
Do you want these?
Yeah, are they done?
Yeah.
Yeah, right here.
I feel like someone's going to cross my name out and write their name.
It's not going to happen. All right, so sometimes we bring in experts from the outside, but oftentimes we bring in experts from South Bay Baptist Church, and that's what we have done for y'all tonight. So I have asked y'all, and you have so lovely and wonderfully said yes, you would be here. And so we're going to start in just a second. I'm going to let you introduce yourselves, talk about your children. I'm going to put your children's picture up there while you talk about them. But I think all three of these parents and their families are absolutely amazing, and I want to do everything that they have ever done, and I want my children to grow up like their children. And so I thought you guys might want to hear from them as well. So we're going to start with you, Claire.
Oh, I'll do better
will
than
you say? I know. Well, and your picture's up first.
Okay.
We only have 40 minutes, so that seems like a lot of time, but like we're going to hear like a nugget from you, and we're going to be like salivating. So let's go ahead and get started, and will you just tell us a word about your family?
Like names, ages, stages.
You can point to those. These are beautiful people.
Lovely children. Our oldest, Stephen, is in the middle.
Over here.
He's turning 30 in about a month. Can hardly believe it. He lives in Houston and is a geologist out in the woodlands. Next oldest on Stephen's left and our right is Robert Frazier, and he is almost 28 years old. He Stephen's married, lives in Houston. Robert's also married, lives in Houston. He's a petroleum engineer for a private equity firm here in Houston.
I don't know what that means.
No, I don't know. It's really good.
Our baby Annie is on the left. She's 24. She works for Annunciation Orthodox School. She does marketing and development. And they are just all really awesome,
so
just
beautiful.
Like they look in that.
Yes,
this was Stephen's rehearsal dinner. His wedding a few years ago that Steve Wells officiated it and said the line of the century, which we has henceforth been made famous in our family and as far abroad as we can spread it, when he said to them on the altar and in very biblical terms, and very soon you will be naked and unashamed. He was trying to draw a
connection.
That's all anybody remembers.
and then they pronounced them man and wife, and it is. Anyway, that's our kiddos.
Yay! Yay. Thank you, Claire. And when did y'all join SAP, or like when did your children come here?
So I grew up Catholic, Joe grew up Baptist. We found a lovely middle of the road Methodist High Church where we spent the first 20 or so years of our marriage, raised our children, and about 20 years into that went on a church search. Our children were youth age, and we kind of poked around and kind of let them call the shots at that point. Stephen was 15. Now we're on the Johnson.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Stephen was 15 at the time and said, when I can drive, can I go to any church I want to? And we said, yeah, we're pretty glad you want to go. And he said, I want to go to South Main. So he came to South Main, and we followed him here. And he joined before we did, actually. And Joe and I joined about almost 12 years ago. And Annie spent the good portion of her youth here. Robert was settled somewhere else, but spent a lot of time here, had great friends here, did a lot of youth stuff with his friends here. They did his youth group. He did their youth group. So we've been here a good long time.
So I advocate that approach for the Frasers, but none of you.
All right, Johnson, you're up.
All right, so Becca, our oldest, is... What is that direction? Yeah.
There.
The pink scarf.
In the pink scarf, exactly. And she is married to Alan, who is behind her. Becca is 26.
I've lost count.
How old are you?
You lost 87. 56, yes.
Okay, so she's 26. Yeah, she is 26. And yes, he's 30 years to 2 days older than her. Anyway, Becca is getting her PhD in school psychology at University of Houston. She and Alan live in the Heights and have a great big dog, and it's just so much fun. Megan is in between Becca and me, and she is 25. She is recently engaged. She's going to get married in November to this wonderful, adorable man that we love. And she teaches middle school. She teaches sixth grade language arts at Landrum Middle School in Spring Branch. And currently is still living home. Well, not still. Currently is living at home to save money before she gets married in November. Will, behind Megan, is 22. He is graduated undergrad, and he is at Texas Tech getting early, a year early because of all his pre-AP credits.
And his brilliance.
And so he is getting his master's in marriage and family therapy at Texas Tech right now.
And he will also be back in Houston one day.
Hopefully. Yes. That's the plan. Actually, he just got a girlfriend in Houston. So, you know.
Yes. That's how it works. These are the things I've been praying for.
Exactly.
Along with you.
Me too. And so those are them. And we came to South Main when I was pregnant with the 22-year-old. So Easter Sunday that year was the very first time we ever walked through the door.
There's a big St. Paul's Methodist,
there is.
A connection.
All three of those brilliant children I taught
to
read. They were in my kindergarten class at St. Paul's, and so we, Catherine and Randy, became friends, as well as lots of folks who were doing day school there, but were South Main members.
We're South Main members.
So that was a big joining of hearts there.
Well, who are these beautiful people, Lainey?
So Kenneth in the green shirt is our oldest, and he's 28. And he is right now the assistant sports information director for social media at East Texas Baptist University. Abby, that was her graduation. She's now finishing up her sophomore year at Texas A&M, and she's doing ag leadership. That's her major. And Andrew is, Abby's 19. Andrew is almost 22. And he will be graduating May 18th from Baylor University, and his degree is in he's a communications specialist is his degree. And they were just had to come to South Main. They are fourth generation South Main. So I grew up at South Main, and so that's why we're here.
Yay!
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you all. You can sit down. We're going to leave the clients up. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. All right. I have some questions, and I'm going to throw them out, and we won't have time for all of y'all to answer all of them. So, like, if you're like, that's the one I wanted to answer, please jump in. Let's start with what your greatest joy as a parent has been.
It's what Steve said earlier that Larry Hurd's answer was, that our grown children actually choose to hang out with us and be around us and have fun with us, and they choose that. We don't force them to, and so that has been a great, great joy. It's just so, you know, we look at each other and go, we must have done something.
We sing that, you know, the little snippet from The Sound of Music, somewhere in our youth or childhood, we did something good.
So for me, it's not one thing. It's all through the process. There have been just really great joys and lots of challenges. But it seems like every time there was this phase where there was a challenge, something followed that was just a great joy. So I can't really point to one thing, but I would never go back to. I'm not one who wants to go back to any of them. I really like this day, but I do remember really great, wonderful things all along the way.
I agree with all that, and I'll add that we just love that our kids are great friends to each other. That they like to hang out with us. And they like to hang out with each other, and they respect each other. They're all so different. I mean, you know this if you have siblings in your household, that out of the same gene pool came some folks who are just wildly different, and you sort of wonder as they're growing up, and there's typical sibling stuff that goes on, but I will tell you, as adults, our three just are crazy about each other, and it makes us so happy.
Is there something y'all remember doing when they were younger that you think fostered that? Like, I remember when Abby was born and she's maybe two, and I went out and found the book that was called Siblings Without Rivalry. I'm like, how are we going to do this? Like, what do you remember doing that you think helped foster that?
So from when they were, from the day Megan was born, and it's a trick my mom taught me, when I was doing something with Becca and Megan was a baby and safe in her crib, and she would start crying, I would say, Megan, you have to wait a second. I'm doing something with Becca. And go back and continue doing whatever I was doing with Becca. And you know, and wait for Becca to say, Mommy, she's crying.
It's
better.
That also is.
And it did. And so that was, you know. But so, because they're always, as the older one, they're always the one that's told, you have to wait. I've got to do this with the baby. Or you're the one, you've got to wait. I've got to do this with your brother or your sister. It worked with both of them. It even worked with Megan. She would worry about Will. And
there were times I wondered if the child was actually human, you know, at one point. There really was a moment when one of my best friends, one of my groomsmen, they have a kid that's a year younger, and they brought her to visit, and Megan went over and was just so careful with Avery, and I was like, okay, you are a human baby. Demonstrate altruistic behavior.
Our kids also. Oh, I'm sorry. Our kids also told us the other night, because we kind of asked them. We were like, we did. And they said, Megan said, Mom, you've never made me be Becca. You never compared them. Never, you know, appreciated each one for their individual differences and for what they were doing at the time. And didn't tell Megan to be Becca or Becca to be Will or Will to be Megan, or, you know, it was, they all got to be their individual people, and there were no comparisons made.
So good. Lainey, what were you going to say?
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't.
Claire.
I was going to say family vacations. Something that I think was something that brought us together and put our kids together, obviously in very close proximity in the backseat all the way to Colorado every year. Car trips, you know, it takes you out of that, what you do every day, and the struggle that we all have with, are you spending enough time with them individually? Are we going to too many of his baseball games, and did we go to just as many piano recitals of hers? That sort of thing, and puts you all in the same place doing the same thing at the same time. And that our kids will tell you, those are their greatest memories. We still take family vacations.
Because they still want to hang out with us, especially if we're paying for them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was our
So, Claire, that's a great lead-in to my next question. Like, what are things that you worried about that now in hindsight you're like, why? Why did I worry? Like, I did not need to worry about that because we worry about a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, having an equitable expenditure of time with each of your children and wondering if they're aware of it or if they feel shortchanged. And there are those inevitable comparisons of them that sometimes they'll verbalize and sometimes they won't. You know, if one wants to be an athlete and he's really not, but the other one, that comes really easily too, you know, that's a time for a sweet conversation and a hard conversation. But
a lot of little things, like, you know, they're in school and you know, they're getting into trouble or something like that, and you're just thinking, what's wrong with my kids? And you just realize it's just a little blip. I mean, on the, you know, span of life, that thing is just a little blip, and you get through it, and you know, and that's not even something you remember looking back on, but it's such a big deal at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I think those are the kind of those little things that, you know, you're worrying about at that moment. I just would say, you got to deal with whatever that issue is, but, you know, it's going to be fine in the end.
That was, I was racking my brain, like, because I know I worry. I mean, I was near it. But I really, well, Becca told me that I always told her that I worried that, I worried that I was messing her up because she was the first one. I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
But I just told her that she's the first pancake, you know. Toss out because it's never quite right. But she told me that I told her that all the time, you know, verbalized it. Said, I don't know what I'm doing. And I, you know, I'm making this up as I go along.
Yeah.
And I was just very honest with them about that when I didn't know the answer, because I didn't know the answer a lot of times. So.
And it ended up not hurting them at all.
Not at all.
Not
they
a tiny
appreciated
bit.
It. Mm-hmm. They liked it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we feel like we have to be like all the things to them.
Yeah, no.
No, I know.
They like it much better when you're real.
Yeah. Nobody is more astute than a child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. All right. Tell us something you did really well. Or tell us all the things you did really well. We don't have that much time, but you know.
Laugh a lot.
A lot.
A lot. At everything.
Family dinners.
Family dinners. At least 3 times a week was what we would shoot for. Because
Heather, it's okay. It's okay.
No,
it's okay.
No. And no judgment. Don't judge yourself at all. Do not judge yourself. We are all just doing the very best that we can. And so every day, give yourself a break. But family dinners were, and like I said, shoot for 3 times a week. But it's not mean that we made that.
We had macaroni and cheese out of the Kraft blue box last night.
Yeah.
Last night for dinner, the Raider family had Kraft macaroni and cheese.
I'm not talking make a family dinner. I'm talking about sit together around the table and have a meal.
It didn't happen all the time.
With no electronics and no distractions, and that includes us, you know, our phones were somewhere else, and talk.
Well, Will
just
didn't.
Talk.
Will wasn't allowed.
Will didn't really get to talk.
Yeah. The girls were just shutting down. That's dumb. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Will started getting bigger than maybe. Like, oh, maybe you might have something to say.
Or maybe they'll come back.
Yeah. What was the question again?
Yeah. Something you did really, really well. Just blurt it out when it comes back. Go ahead, Lainey.
So for me, I don't know that this is necessarily anything that Wade and I did, but our oldest child is autistic. And so I think that we really worked on Andrew and Abby to, you know, appreciate people who, and other children who have, are a little bit different. And I remember one time, and Kenneth is 8 years older than Abby, so there's a big gap, and 6 years older than Andrew. one time she came in from school and she says, there's this kid in my class and he's just so weird. And I said, well, tell me what he does. And I said, well, you know, that's Kenneth. And she goes, no, Mom, Kenneth was never like that. And I said, no, yeah. Kenneth at that age was like that. And she went, oh, you know, and she now will see kids and really is their defender. And Andrew's the same way, that they really have an appreciation for those differences. So and I don't know that it was anything we did. I think it was just the circumstances that they grew up in.
Yeah, feel like it. Randy, did you think of it?
Nah.
Claire, what are the things that you and Joe did like so well?
This is so small.
We love those.
We insisted that they say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Please, thank you. Gratitude and manners. We just insisted, and I, to this day, am so glad that we did that. And I watched them interact with adults with that kind of language and that kind of respect as children, and I see them do it as adults now. And children who don't do that, I kind of bristle a little bit, I guess, because I'm Southern. And that means something to me. But manners are important, and they learned that. They learned that well. What did they do really well? I don't know. That feels.
Encourage them.
Encourage them
and build them up.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, a friend of mine said something to me once. Well, I don't want my daughter to get a big head or something. And I thought, no. That's the rest of the world's job. Yes. It's the rest of the world's job to tear her down. It's your job to build her up, or him. Mm-hmm. Build them all up.
Same here, Catherine. I can remember a friend I taught with who made a comment about a child who said, she was obviously raised in a household where she was taught that self-esteem is everything. And I thought, and I hope I said, it kind of is. And that I felt that way as a teacher. I certainly feel that way as a parent. But exactly. That's the armor you give them. You can do this, and you are wonderfully made. And, yeah. I mean, and not a false sense of you're perfect.
And everybody gets a trophy.
No. And let them fail, because they will.
Yeah.
And you're there for them when they do, but it's their failure.
Yeah.
Not my failure. It's their failure, and that's okay. And for them to learn that and see that is a good thing, and come out the other side of it
with resilience.
You know, without me saving them coming out the other side of it was important.
That also goes along with the Al-Anon training.
Yes. If you ever have the chance to go through Al-Anon training, do it. I'm not kidding, because that made such a difference. Will Johnson, I don't know if y'all were here when he preached. He is 4.5 years sober. August 1st will be 5 years. And he is a drug addict, and he came to me his junior year and said, Mom, I have a problem, and we progressed from there. But that's a much longer conversation than we have tonight. But the Al-Anon training that we received really helped us.
Great parenting.
Yeah. It really is. So.
Let them fail and have buckets full of grace when they do.
Y'all, I have more questions. Do y'all have something at this point? Because this might have triggered something for you that you want to ask them. Michael?
I mean, not surprisingly, I have lots of questions. But I think for me, the big one, so I plan a lot, about everything. Like, I have a kind of idea of where everything and everyone should go in 5, 10, 15 years. And that is not reality most of the time. So I'm imagining a distressing scenario where my kids go way off the roadmap that I have just implicitly, that I try to chuck it, but you know, it just comes back. So my question is, to the extent that you can respect your children's dignity and still share stories about it, when have your kids really surprised you in a disappointing way, and how did you adjust and how did you cope with that as parents when they just completely completely drove off the map that you were kind of operating from?
Which one?
I was going to say, which one?
Well, I mean, Megan was always very challenging, very high energy, you know, demanding attention and doing, you know, pushing the limits. And our whole idea, I mean, yeah, I'm with you. I had this preconceived notion about, hey, you know, and we just try to keep her in the channel and not go too far out of the channel. And literally there was one time where we just, our senior year in high school, I mean, she was doing a great job of soiling the nest before she went up to college. And we finally just said, and Catherine literally looked there and said,
"I'm out.
I've got nothing. You know,
I'm out.
You know,
I can no longer do this."
Yeah, and Megan has told us that that, you know, neutral response was devastating to her and made her kind of like, "Ooh, I think I've reached the, you know, limit there." You know, and I don't know if that's going to work for every kid, but
no.
Our experience was that.
Yeah,
you know?
And I had a wise or older parent at one point say to me, you know, God laughs at people who plan. Mm-hmm. Because, and to make that channel as wide as you possibly can, because they're going to...
See, her channel is wider, mine was like...
Yeah. They're not going to do everything you want them to do, and that's okay, because we're not their Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. God is. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so... He's going to direct them where he wants them to go. And our job is to sit back and support them and love them.
But it's hard when you're in the weeds.
It's so hard.
Your mind got this myopic point.
No. There's nothing easy about letting a child do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing easy about that.
Can you share a little bit about how it was that when you, I don't want to say washed your hands, but whatever it was that you step back, or however it is that you think about making the space. And
she had gone on the internet and learned how to disarm our, she's heard me tell the story a million times, and she's told it, learned how to disarm our house alarm so that she could sneak out in the middle of the night with her friends. She had no curfew her senior year, and so she was allowed to go wherever she wanted to go,
as long as she told us where she was going,
and that was the kicker. Because she didn't want to tell us anymore. And at that point, well, when we were sitting on the guest room bed waiting for her to crawl back in the window at 3 o'clock in the morning, is when she came in and expected, you know, this outraged, you know, where have you been? What have you been doing? You know, blah, 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 blah. And I don't know, something came over me and I just went, I'm out. I'm done. Obviously, the thrill of lying to me is too great. And you just have to do that. And so, good luck. And I went to bed. And it was just, I mean, that was not the first thing she had done. And it just, you just reach a point where, and she was 18 and going off to college. You know, I wouldn't say that to a five-year-old.
just to be clear.
You can't be done with a five-year-old. Like if you want.
I'm done with you.
It was kind of an experience where we just let her deal with the consequences of her actions without us interfering and letting her figure out where she wanted to go from there. Mm. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, it's situational. Obviously, there's like a long context there. It just seems like at a certain part, you just have to like cut your heart out and be like, there's nothing more I can do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we did hold her accountable. I mean, I think there was a consequence for that behavior.
I'm sure there was. I don't know.
But I mean, yeah.
So you don't have to go into the details, but like, have y'all had similar like push to the limit? They're not doing what I thought.
I will say Robert, our middle child, was the straight A kid who was bored and found the most creative mischief. For a very long time, he was the kid. We'd get a call from the Westview police. He just threw a ginormous water balloon through a moving car. Actually, broke the windshield. I think in that same week, he got kicked out of the movie theater for pulling somebody's pants down. You're back in the day.
Pants people.
I just pantsed him. Well, it became a sexual harassment thing. I mean, it was cuckoo. I have a very protective memory, and so I don't.
I react in the moment
the very best I can. I have a wonderful husband partner, and we bounce things off of each other. Mm-hmm. What do I do? What did I? Should we? You okay? You go. That kind of co-parenting. But yeah, if I sit here but I have to think about it. But yeah, we had some doozy misbehaviors where a child acted, we thought, really out of character for what we thought. And really all you can do is just react appropriate to the offense, but with grace, and deal with it.
And do y'all know any parents that have, like, never had any problems?
Oh,
right.
Anyone that tells you that they're not, they're lying.
Right.
They're not being truthful. They're
and so there's the moment that it's happening, and then you, like, I just want you to see, like, look how happy they are. Look how amazing it is. Tell us about I'm going to go off script a little bit. Tell us a little bit about how your faith, how that molded your family life. How was it demonstrated in your home and or at church? Like, we all see each other at church, so I feel like we kind of know how that works here. But, like, what's happening in your house? What was happening in your houses, in your homes?
You know, it just was such an organic part of who we were. We went to church every Sunday as a family in the same car. We'd come home and we'd talk about it. We'd pray at mealtime. I worked for a Christian school. They saw us lead and attend Bible studies in our home. And that just kind of became the pattern. And certainly our jumping off point for discipline and redirection. And I think it just was who we are and what we were doing.
Yeah, I think growing up in the church, and, you know, especially the things that you're doing now, Dolores, you're getting these children where they're young, so they want to be here. And I know that my kids wanted to be here. And we live out in Memorial, and we're, you know, hop, skip, and a jump from Towelwood. And I asked them one time, I said, hey, would y'all rather go to Towelwood? And they were just like, no. Church, and, you know, and I was just so happy they said that, and you know, just being here and the diversity of the people and everything. But I think that raising, you know, coming every Sunday, getting them here, the friends they make, and they're going to want to be here, and then I think that was sort of their security when things were happening in their lives. This is the place that was secure for them.
I can elaborate on that. I mean, the youth group was a refuge or a sanctuary for them, you know, during middle school and high school. I mean, you know, if somebody's, you know, if your people are, you know, driving you crazy in middle school or high school, you could come here, and it was a safe place. And the other thing is, I mean, you guys are doing, you know, because we're driving down here, I was reminded of trying to get.
It's on Wednesday nights.
Good on you. You're doing exactly what you know need to do. I mean, I wasn't always the one that got them down here. I mean, Catherine and like Lainey are saying. I mean, yeah.
And sometimes it was. Can you pick them up?
So I mean, yeah, and it's this. I don't know if you said faith, but I wanted to speak towards the church and the people in the church and all those that taught our kids and gave their time. And I mean, it's amazing. They deserve, you know, every accolade, you know, that can be given, especially for putting up a bank.
Maybe they'll get it back. Yeah. Pray continually. We prayed as a family, but we also prayed, you know, I prayed constantly, all the time. You know, dropping them off at school, praying on the way home, you know, pray. Bible study, having them see us do Bible study, like Claire said, encouraging them to be involved in Bible studies at school or at church or wherever they are, it just translated. And they're all still very strong in their faith. We have a family group text now that I started, I think, when they were in college. And every morning I send out a verse of the day. Really easy, just let's download it with the Bible app.
Yeah,
it's been so great because it also connects us every morning. Some of you like the Bible verse, and so I know that they're alive.
Yeah.
It's really good. We can always tell when Will gets out. It's
like about noon. No, that's not even true. It is great when they don't know that you're checking up on them and you are.
Yes. And speaking of, what are Becca and Alan doing next fall, y'all?
They're coming to work in the youth.
That's right. Yes. And Will is going to youth camp for the second year. So, like,
Will is not going on our big family vacation because he can only take a week off, and he's taking it to go with the youth. And that was his choice.
Are you going to Colorado?
No.
We're going to South Carolina this year.
Okay. Ooh.
We're alternating beach, mountains.
Got it. And by the way, Megan is an incredible person. She was just very challenging for me.
This is how it works.
Absolutely.
She knows what they're doing.
Megan could just push all my buttons, and she and I were like,
they could not sit next to each other in a restaurant if we wanted to stay and finish. I literally had to be in between them, or Becca had to be in between them, or Will had to be in between them. As long as Megan and Randy were not sitting next to each other, we could make it through a restaurant, and then the meal was perfect.
Not that Megan was difficult, but both of her siblings decided to become therapists.
All right, I'm going to ask y'all best advice you've ever been given. But before I do that, does anybody else have a question they want to throw out at them? Heather.
So, Lainey, you said that your oldest is on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I know that you said he's a lot older than his siblings. Mm-hmm. But did you ever have any issues of, like, the other kids thinking it was unfair?
That it was just God's just wonderful plan, because we tried to have children after Kenneth, like 2 years, sort of like the 2 year thing, and it just didn't work, and it didn't work, and I had to go through fertility stuff, and it was 6 years before Andrew was born. Well, during that 6 year period, Kenneth was diagnosed. We were able to give him all kinds of therapies, and he was very much, self-sufficient, off to school. So I didn't really have a lot of, there wasn't a lot of sibling rivalry with him. Now, Andrew and Abby were closer, so they had the sibling rivalry. But he was sort of off, doing his stuff, and they would just kind of follow along whenever he was doing anything. So there may have been a few times when it's maybe even more now when they're sort of all adults, where they're saying, he really needs to be doing this, Mom. And it's like, yeah, he probably does, but but not when they were younger.
Okay, I'm going to change my last question. I want to know your best advice to the people. Sorry, that wasn't fair.
To be what somebody told me, which is remember your memories. And that comes into play a lot of times when they mess up. Or when one time in particular, I remember when Becca was in sixth grade, and she told me something about how she wasn't going to run for student council. And my immediate reaction was to look at her and go, "You have to!" And that's what I said. And she burst into tears. I had to remember what it was like to be a sixth grader and to be so scared to put yourself out there. And, you know, because I'm looking at it as, oh, well, you need to do this so you can do better in school, and you have to, you know. No. Remember being a sixth grader. Remember being scared. Remember, you know, being the peer pressure and all of that. That's what remember your memories means. And in every stage of life, if you can tap into remembering what it was like to be that age and to be, you know, that vulnerable, it really helps parent. It helps you. Because we're looking at it from the other side. We've made it through already. But to get them through it, if we can remember what it felt like, it helps.
And I liked what they said about failure, and I tell my kids this, you know, it is okay to fail, and it's, you know, anytime there's pain, you learn from that and you grow from that. And so, you know, yeah, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to hurt, and, you know, but you're going to grow from that.
Literally, I had to fail at that to be able to, because I was not good at that. You know, and a lot of somebody alluded to it earlier. I felt like, at some point in my parenting career, like, wait, your failure or whatever you're doing is reflecting on me, and blah blah blah, and you know, that's foolish. Really foolish of me, and shame on me for that. And that in one of your questions, what was your biggest failure? Mm-hmm. That was one of my biggest failures. Was that? And so yeah, remember your memories and the perspective. And I'm also a first child and a very hard charger and, you know, success oriented, blah, blah, blah. And they're not all that. That's not all what they want to do, you know? And so your idea of success is not necessarily their idea of success. And it took me a long time of banging my head against the wall to figure that out. So, and the lady in Bible study say? You're only as happy as your most miserable child.
Yeah. You're only ever as happy as your most miserable child.
Yes. Okay, sorry, Claire.
No. It's all so good. Hard to pluck something. I would say just be somebody they can depend on and trust at every age. I grew up in a household with a father who was not dependable, and life was not very predictable, and I kind of didn't know which way he was going to swing from one day to the next, and I survived. I'm just fine. But I wanted to be for my children, not the everything's okay all the time kind of mommy, but you can come to me with anything, with your successes, with your failures, and you can know with assurance that I'm going to respond with love and grace, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to just love you through whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We'll get through it together.
Isn't it obvious why I ask these people to do that? Like, don't you just feel so, so good? Your husband sent me an email.
He did.
To say, I'm sorry I can't come. But in it, he was so great,
and I'm
Joe.
I'm really a good parent.
And I want to read what he wrote. But before he did that, Steve, is it okay if you tell them what Joe sent you? Because I just think that's amazing. The book. Is it okay?
Several years ago, Joe wrote a book about his life. This is my story. This is where I came from. This is the lessons I learned. And this is the legacy I want you to have. It's a very little, 20 pages, spiral bound. But this is my effort to tangibly bless my children and tell them this is the legacy that I want you to have. Just strategic and intentional.
Yeah, it's so amazing. I have a lot to do. Good thing I still have two more years. It's fine. It's going to be fine. Okay, here's what he said.
no telling what kind of answers you would get from me on the fly he's talking about. Here it is, though. My general response to the overall topic is realizing how hard it is to surrender parenthood to God. We are merely stewards of God's children. There is a warning, though. God's children are watching us. Part of our job as parents is to demonstrate how their true parent loves them, cares for them, and disciplines them. Which I think, like everything y'all said, like points to that, and it's just beautiful. So he was, he did really good.
I did really good.
So can we like give him a round of applause? Because